Good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. When our group of 30 or so pilgrims took our trip to the Holy Land and to Asia Minor, we finished the trip with a visit to Hagia Sophia, the great cathedral, and the patriarchal see for 1,000 years. The largest cathedral in the world for over 1,000 years, actually, was Hagia Sophia. And it is a bittersweet moment to be able to walk through the vast space of Hagia Sophia. And it looks very different now than, of course, it must have when it was used liturgically, especially when we're going back hundreds of years. All of the marble is pretty much the same color now. Most of the icons have either been removed or plastered over, and they are just in the process of uncovering what is there to God's glory, because what is there is quite magnificent. But the building itself as a museum is quite stark. It's, I'm not going to say bland, but there really isn't anything within itself that typifies the colorful environment in which it was created, with the vast different colors of marble that were inside, the different woods and metals, and obviously the voices, the vestments, the great and incredible liturgical life that defined the church through our traditions in the Poli. And this is the environment in the world that Prince Vladimir of Kiev's envoy must have seen. Not like today, but in the fullness of its glory. Today we celebrate the feast day of Prince Vladimir of Kiev, who is known as equal to the apostles in the life of the church. And perhaps you've heard his story, and I will share very briefly that as he was solidifying his throne, and as he was pulling together, much like St. Constantine did in the East, his vast empire, he knew that he needed an element that was missing in all of his subjects throughout the entirety of his empire, and that was faith. And so he explored Islam, he explored Roman Catholicism, and he explored Orthodoxy. And he sent his emissaries into different parts of the world in order to observe and participate in the various worship that he had identified, I guess, as his top three. And when his envoys went into the great cathedral of Hagia Sophia, it is written down that they had said they did not know if they were in heaven or still on earth because of the glory of the worship and the faith of the people. And so, of course, the rest is history in the Slavonic world, with all subjects of Vladimir of Kiev being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we commemorate his name on this day. Today also, being the Sunday that falls between the 13th and 19th of July, are the fathers of the Fourth Ecumenical Council. So we have the story of those fathers who had gathered in Chalcedon to dispel the heresy of Eutychius, who lifted up his thought that Christ only had one nature. And of course, we've talked a lot about different heresies in antiquity of the church, on how they all kind of orbited around that same confusion. Who is Jesus? How is he God? How is he man? How do we reconcile that? And so there are all sorts of formulas that were floated and many that were dashed away, other than our truthful statement that he is fully man and he is fully God. And some would say that, well, he has one nature, and the divine and the human, they're all rolled together. Eutychius, he was a brave guy. He said there's no humanity in Jesus at all. He's all divine. Everything else is just the way that he manifests himself. So that's why the fathers gathered in Chalcedon, to dispel this great heresy. Because if Jesus isn't man, how are we saved? because God can't die. So we have this beautiful dual commemoration today. It's not by coincidence. I really don't believe in coincidence. I'm sure you could say, well, Father, even a broken clock tells the right time twice a day. So there's going to be an opportunity for these things to come together. But of course, this is all by God's design. Why? Because as Prince Vladimir being listed as equal to the apostles, that's a great commandment and a great goal, I'd say, for each and every one of us. We've talked about this title before. I believe the last time I preached about this kind of title was when we lifted up Saint Fotini, the Samaritan woman at the well. She's also declared to be equal to the apostles. Saint Thecla, the great martyr, equal to the apostles. Saint Mary Magdalene, equal to the apostles. Saints Constantine and Helen, God-crowned sovereigns like Vladimir and equal to the apostles. What does that mean? The apostolic ministry of the 12 and by extension the 70 themselves is unrepeatable in a way. That's why the church has their specific title for them. Though we are all challenged and inspired and called to be apostolic, we are also called to be equal to them. Typically, like Saints Constantine and Helen and Saint Vladimir, if you are able to bring the entirety of a nation to the faith, this is how the church identifies you. And I don't know that any of us are called or have the capacity or the civil function or office to bring an entire nation. But we can begin with ourselves. We can be apostles to our own selves, to our own deficits, to our own weaknesses. And to transform through Christ our lives, those of our households, those who are directly around us, our children, our godchildren, those who were given the spiritual responsibility to nurture in the faith. We begin there with co-workers, with neighbors, with anyone that we see that is suffering or destitute or lost or thirsty and needing God in their lives. We're not going to force everyone into baptism as Vladimir did. We'll take the varnish off and we'll talk about that in reality, because that's what happened. You live here, you'll be baptized. And that's a blessing, because that's salvation. So, the fathers of the Fourth Ecumenical Council and Prince Vladimir coming together to articulate the faith, to share the faith, to be luminaries of the faith and guides, so that we sitting in this church in 2018, as all Orthodox churches are gathered for the Divine Liturgy, we share and we receive and we inherit that same apostolic message. The same clarion call that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The same call to receive the gospel, His word, His path, His enlightened path. We have set before us incredible saints, incredible stories, incredible fights. Don't think it was easy, even after four councils, to talk about the same kinds of things. Deciding how we can understand who is our Lord and our Savior and how are we related to Him. Again, no coincidence that it took time and time again for the church to return to council, to prayer, to liturgy, to formalize and to finalize and to articulate our true belief. And this is a belief that we share and we have today. So may we be inspired by these great luminaries that have been set before us. May we also be declared to be equal to the apostles. Maybe perhaps not in the books of the church, but in the book of life that God has us written down within. Maybe we can inherit that same love for the gospel and for Lord and for humanity, to be able to bring them all together and to expand that precious world in life and in love and in commitment to Him. Equal to the apostles. Doesn't make them the apostles themselves, but sharing in their ministry and in their love for the Lord. Amen.